careful of the young guys giving you sex advice. How many people have they had sex with? They've probably mostly had sex with their hand watching porn. They really don't have any advice to share with you. You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. In 2023, more people were talking about sex than ever, which makes me so happy. But some sex and relationship advice is better than others. Trust me. Today, producer Eric and I are reviewing some of the most trending sex and relationship advice from TikTok this year, from how to make them fall in love with you and love bombing to when you should sleep with someone or if the bird test will let you know whether you should stay with your partner or not. Through all this advice, we'll let you know if we agree or disagree. Please rate and review Sex with Emily wherever you listen to the show. Please do it. Do it right now. It takes 2 seconds and it really helps get the show out there to more people the more you review. And please make sure you are subscribed as well. The latest review is from Haley. She's a vulva owner, 30, in Canada. Hi, Dr. Emily. I just want to say a big thank you. I absolutely love your show and wish I had a resource like this 15 years ago. Despite only discovering your podcast 2 months ago, I'm already at over 100 episodes listened to, and I can safely say that you've changed my life for the better in so many ways. Oh, Haley, thank you for your review and love this, Erica. This is why we're here, to help you all. My new articles, How to Use a Penis Pump, and Last Minute Amazon Prime Panic Gifts for Lovers and Friends are up on sexwithemily.com. And I created that one because I'm a last minute panic shopper. And so I wanted you to know, I wanted to help you, okay? I wanted to help you find some really fun gifts. So check out those things. I'll also put them in the show notes. All right, everyone, enjoy this episode. Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of Vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a culture icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. I mean, do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a magic wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the magic wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I've been so obsessed with my magic wand, I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago, because now there are multiple iterations of the magic wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the magic wand rechargeable, tiny with the magic wand mini, or micro. Micro is really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure. So there's been a lot of talk about TikTok in the last few years, but especially the last year, there's been a lot of people saying, you got to be careful what you learn on TikTok. There's a lot of people who don't know what they're talking about. And I saw this article recently called TikTok Dating Advice is Hell on Earth. And I just thought this was funny because I know what they're talking about. I've seen the TikToks too, where I think you have a million people that have seen this video and it's untrue. Or it's not accurate, or it's actually harmful information. Now, don't get me wrong, I love TikTok. And I actually launched my TikTok this year. That's also Sex with Emily. But I have to say, just know this, unless you're hearing sex advice or any advice from a certified sex coach like me, you probably don't want to take everything you see online as truth. A lot of it's there for just entertainment or to join certain trends. And it can be really confusing and overwhelming as well. And just like this article says, there can be a lot of contradictory advice and it's not super helpful information on TikTok. Just take it all in with a grain of salt. Just remember this, that a lot of sex educators get their content removed from the platform, which also means that there's just misinformation that can spread faster. I know, it's crazy. Being a sex educator for almost 20 years, it is still pretty shocking and surprising to see that so much of the information that we post does get taken down. We get flagged on Facebook still and TikTok as well. Luckily, though, our TikTok's going strong, so you have to check that out. But this article, which was specifically about dating advice, I thought it was just so insightful. So this is what they said. There's advice telling you to never text first. There's advice telling you to text back only when you have time. There's advice telling you to ghost in the middle of a text conversation. There's advice that says texting doesn't matter. There's no less than a million things you should never do over text. I'm tired, says a journalist. I'm tired too. I mean, what do you do with all this? A lot of this advice is just people kind of following the algorithms or what's trendy and like jumping on that bandwagon. But just because you're seeing it all over TikTok doesn't necessarily mean that it's true. Although, like a lot of things, just take it all with a grain of salt. And at the end of the day, go back to you, like what feels true for you, because it really doesn't matter what all the rules say and what they're telling you to do. What do you want to do and what feels right? Because every relationship we're in is different. Every partner you're with, it's a case by case basis. So today I thought it would be fun to review some of the most popular sex and relationship advice I've seen on TikTok this year and let you know if they get a thumbs up or a thumbs down from me. So let's get into it. I've producer Erica here to help me break this down.
Hi, everyone.
This is fun. Okay, because I had a good time going through this because this is the stuff that all year I've been seeing and it's like, let's just get you guys some of the accurate information, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, this one, if you're uninterested in sex with your partner, this might be why. Let's go. Find out. Let's see what she has to say.
Yesterday, I heard a piece of advice in a TikTok that literally blew my mind. She was a married woman talking about how she still has a good sex life with her husband, and she was listing all of the reasons why it's still good for her. But the thing that really got me was this. She said that he knows that foreplay isn't something that happens 10 minutes before sex. It starts the second that they wake up. And this really clicked for me because I don't know about you, but when I start to feel shut down to my boyfriend, there's usually a deeper reason underneath of it. To me, intimacy is also the small moments that we share with each other throughout the day. It's the way that he looks at me, the things that we do for each other out of love, the way that he places his hand on my back or asks to go watch the sunset together. So just remember, if you're shut down, it's not out of nowhere. It's because those little things slip away so easily over time. But in the grand scheme of things, those are the things that keep you connected emotionally and physically.
So she's talking about foreplay all day. She's talking about the fact that we need to stay connected to our partners, if we can, throughout the day. In the morning, give them a kiss before you both, you know, take off for your day or for work. If you both work at home, little touches, hugs, just to stay connected, because we get into the bedroom and we wonder why we're not interested in sex. Maybe we haven't even connected with our partner intimately since the last time we had sex. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard to kind of like get it going. But if we keep that energy going throughout the day, throughout the week, we'll be, you know, much more on board.
I saw another TikTok that was saying something like men need sex to feel loved, but women need love to have sex or love to want sex.
Yeah, that's a trope that's been around for a while. And I have a hard time with some of those gender things. I think that maybe there is some truth to that. That speaks to women need more emotion and connection. Mm-hmm. And for men, they're like, just have sex with me and I'll be aroused and ready and then I'll feel love. And for women, we have to feel loved and safe to have sex. Yeah, maybe it resonates with some people. If I try to say something like that, there'll be a woman saying, I want sex to feel love. Just see if it works for you. If it does, you're like, yeah, I feel like I haven't been as connected with my partner physically lately, so I feel separate from them. So physical touch, all those things are important to allow me to feel more sensual and turned on. How to make him fall in love with you during sex. This is a big trend on TikTok, how to make him fall in love with you. It's always about him. Is it about her too? Are these trending?
Honestly, they probably are. I'm just not getting them.
We're not on my For You page. Yeah. Right. Okay, let's see what he says.
Here's a secret no man is ever going to tell you. Because with this knowledge, literally any woman can become more attractive during sex. So listen closely. All you got to do is focus on his eyes and relax. And I say that because when you have him locked in both physically and mentally, there is no other place he's willing to be. Because you know, they say the eyes are the windows to the soul. But without saying too much, I'll go on record to say that the windows to so much more.
Okay, so basically this guy's saying the eyes are the window to the soul. He will fall in love with you if you keep eye contact up all during sex. I'm a fan of eye contact during sex. And remember, I'm not talking about like you're staring the whole time, but maybe you're looking up, you're looking away. I think that does enhance intimacy. But this whole like, do this one thing and they're going to commit to you. They're going to fall in love with you. It's going to change the whole thing. Be more available, less available, stare into their eyes, grab their ass like this. I mean, that all that stuff is just clickbaity.
I know. And I feel like that's the biggest trend now is how to hack other people's emotions. It's like, you're not going to do one thing that's going to make someone fall in love with you. Like there's so many things that fall into creating love. Yeah. But everyone wants a quick fix in general and especially on TikTok.
Yeah, exactly. And it speaks to this whole culture of, yeah, like a quick fix for everything that we want in life and wanting advice and wanting to do it all right. Think about years before TikTok and before you could access all this information, people were falling in love. Mm-hmm. People were having good relationships. I almost think a lot of this stuff is just too extra. And could get you in trouble because what if you're someone who has some intimacy challenges and you keep trying to stare into their eyes?
Right.
They could also feel like, oh my God, this person's all over my stuff. Like, it makes me uncomfortable. You might need to have a slower build with this person. I mean, that might also tell you that this person's not my person because they're not into intimacy. But what I'm saying is if you just see this video, you're like, now I'm going to stare into their eyes all the time and it backfires, you know, that could be wise. So remember, it's all about context too and your history with the person.
Okay, I feel like you're about to prove me wrong here. I feel like sometimes I struggle to maintain eye contact when I feel like I'm leading someone on if I'm staring at them too deeply.
Because it says a lot, right? You mean during sex or just in general?
Yeah, during sex.
Yeah, because that does say I'm into you. It's intimacy. It's right. Almost like drops you into this right. Intimate place because so much sex is disassociated. But I could see that misleading. Well, that say more about that. Because is it because maybe you don't want to reveal how you feel? You actually don't feel that close to someone. So
maybe it's a way of blocking myself from intimacy, but it's like, I feel like I struggle to maintain eye contact with someone unless it's like, oh, I already know I'm in love with you.
Yeah, well, that might be something to look at, Erica. Or maybe
that is my 2024
exactly. Or maybe it, yeah, I could see that. I mean, it's because it's staring into someone's eyes is intimate. It yeah. is not a natural thing that we do. And I notice when people are out in the world and they're not making eye contact, even when you're talking to them on the street. Yeah. So I think it says a lot, but I think that's just something to look at. I think it's a vulnerability. If you're having sex with someone, that's already really right. intimate. So right. maybe it'll just make you feel more connected and safe if you do that. And then you'll have better sex because we know that when we feel safe, we have more orgasms.
I know. All right, guys. Okay. That's going to be my resolution.
Bucket list. Bucket if you list. Meet Erica on the street, even just start practicing, she's going to be staring you down.
Hold me to it, guys. Okay.
I like this one, mothering your male partner. Now, what this made me think of too, when Esther Perel was on the show, she talked about this as well, how women can fall into this mothering role with their partners. And this woman does a lot of TikToks about masculine, feminine energy. So let's see what she has to say here.
If you do what I'm about to tell you in a relationship with a man, it will probably kill his sexual energy towards you. He'll probably lose interest in you over time. And so many women do this. So watch this and send it to your friends. Because if you put aside your needs, wants, and self-care for a man in this beautiful feminine way that we like to do, like he wants this, but you want that, so you go with what he wants, eventually he understands that you are becoming in the role of his mother. Why? Because I do that for my child. If my child wants something, I'll do that for him. And when we start doing that for a man, he starts to see himself as the person who is already good enough as he is. He doesn't need to change, he doesn't need to grow, he doesn't need to acquire anything or be better for you, and that makes him bored. He also starts to lose interest in you because there is no reach towards you, there is no chase of you, and not chase in that game playing way, but chase in the wow, she's this amazing woman who I want to be closer to, but she's already pandering everything to me. I am already good enough. Furthermore, by becoming his mum, he will love you and he'll feel warmth towards you, but he'll lose sexual attraction over time. You will drop further and further down into that maternal energy and you'll start asking him, can't you organize dates for me? Why don't you find me attractive anymore? And all he's gonna do is be annoyed by you, because what's the dynamic? That's the mum asking her son to clean the room dynamic. Now you're following him around and asking him for more time, more attention, more. But he's already comfortable because you're already doing everything. You're putting yourself last. You are not supposed to find your mother attractive in that way. So step out of that energy. Put yourself first. Start doing more self-care. When you want something and he wants the other thing, choose what you want. Put yourself first. Go into your goddess energy and be more selfish. Trust me, it works out better for everybody.
I think this is an interesting point. So what she's saying is that there is this notion for women, typically for vulva owners in relationships, that for many, we just are caregivers. We mother our partners. We think, oh, if he wants this and I want this, I'm going to go with what he wants because I want to be agreeable, likable, and I actually care. Like, he really wanted to go out for Italian food tonight. And yes, I wanted sushi, but I just really want him to have a good meal and I care and I don't care that much. And then we continue to put ourselves last in all these situations. What she's saying is that if we do that, it's almost a way of not respecting ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so we're spreading that message to our partner where they're like, well, if you're not respecting yourself and you're elevating me to be likable and agreeable, well, then I'm not going to respect you either. So I find that to be an interesting notion. The part that I like about that is I think it's also very extreme. She's mm-hmm. like, do this thing. And, you know, this is why he becomes uninterested in you. Like that stuff always makes me cringe a little bit. Like why he doesn't want you. But I think that the point here that is helpful is that we don't want to lose ourselves in relationships, lose our needs. We have to be our own best advocates. That self-care is important. Time for ourselves is important. And yeah, don't become anyone's mother. Mm-hmm. If you are nagging and reminding them of things and doing all these things and you feel like, why don't they ever do this? Because there's just so much of that. Like if you find yourself like constantly like frustrated with your partner, what are you doing for yourself in the face of that? And how can you continue to make sure that you're getting your needs met as well? I think there's some truth to that. And the whole mothering thing is very relatable. And you hear women say this all the time. Well, I've got three kids. I've got two sons and my husband. It just, I mean, again, that seems sort of cliche, but it's because we are in this mothering, nurturing, caring role. So whatever mm-hmm. you can do to counterbalance that in your life, if this is a wake-up call for you, then, you know, it's good to take a look at this.
Is that something that you can have a conversation and change that dynamic with a partner? Or is that one of those signs to look for when you start dating someone? Because I do feel like men are socialized to expect to be cared for and women are socialized to do the caring. So I feel like if you're looking for a man and you're a woman, most people you're going to find are going to default to that relationship.
Yeah. In this instance, and you probably don't hear me say this a lot, it's less about communication. This is more of a personal change of our behavior. And this is more about making different choices in the relationship and thinking, yeah, I could tell them to do this thing again or remind them or make sure that he's got his food or his clothes are washed, or I could just not do those things. Mm-hmm. Like what if you lean into bringing your full self to a relationship, your independent self who has a lot going on in your life, and you don't necessarily subscribe to this notion that you're going to be the caretaker, because once you lead with that stuff, then you just become useful. You become like a friend or a mother. But I think that that is less sexy and attractive. And the reason why this stuff comes up a lot, because if you go back like 60 years, right? The 50s, the 60s, women were homemakers. They were about raising the kids. They were barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen. Like that was all the notions about women, that if you couldn't cook and clean and provide a good household, you definitely were not attractive. Also to say that some women, of course, love this role and they're probably in very healthy relationships right now, and that's okay. But I'm talking about the women who are like, find conflict with this relationship, who are like, I'm doing everything for here and it's not working. Well, this is where I say go inward, take stock of what is working in a relationship, what isn't working. And I think this is where we've changed our own behaviors and our own patterns. I also want to add, I know I said before that this isn't a communication thing, but I do want to say that after you start changing your behavior, you could also make a list of all the tasks in the house or the things that you do in the relationship, things you take care of, and you could split them up between the both of you and let them know that you'd like their help with certain things and that you're finding that you want to spend more time on your own life and taking care of your own tasks, and you'd like them to pitch in as well. It's hard for me to say not to communicate, because I always think that we have to cover all bases. So in life, always great to change our behaviors and take responsibility for our side of the street, but healthy conversations and communication around where there's struggles in the relationship is always going to help you. This is misunderstanding of what dominant means.
What are your unpopular opinions in the bedroom? I'll go first.
A lot of men on dating apps portray themselves as a dominant when they don't understand what that means. What it usually means is that they want to do you like they don't care about you, and they probably want to hurt you because they're working out some repressed rage.
Not all men, but I can see some men who haven't dealt with their own sexual traumas, their feelings about women, their feelings about sex. The guys who are pounding away, they're not really attuned to what their partner wants. And they're more aggressive in the bedroom, and they're dominant in the way of like what they see in movies, like, hey, bitch, or slapping your ass without getting any consent and without actually reading your partner and feeling connected. That's an extreme, but I can see that dominant, being a dominant in the bedroom, could backfire for many women and for the men ultimately, but they're like, I didn't want you to pull my hair or spank me or aggressively pound away at me. A lot of dominance we talk about. BDSM, power play. That's more about power play, consensual role playing. And that's what we're talking about with it when a healthy like BDSM relationship or dominant submissive relationship. But she's just speaking to her experience or maybe on the dating apps, it sounds like. And I always think of these men of just being men who haven't had a lot of positive sex education. They haven't delved into the world of sex. They don't understand that they'll actually have better sex, more satisfying sex, healthier relationships once they actually pay attention to what their female partners mm-hmm. want as well.
This has to come from porn, right?
It's all porn.
Yeah.
Where else would it come from?
Yeah.
It does come from porn. Again, with porn without sex education is a total disaster. We're not correcting that. So if you grew up watching porn and you assume that this is how sex should happen and no one's speaking up to you about it, then yeah, that could be a porn challenge, a porn problem. All right, this is our last sex TikTok.
Ladies, you want to make spicy time better, but you don't know how? I'm going to give you a quick fix that'll help everything. Ladies, we need to understand that when it comes to spicy time for men, 60% of the entire experience is visual. That means treat everything like a performance, okay? You better be going ham. If you're going down like the Titanic on a guy, that better be your best performance, all right? Like the greatest showman. If you're kind of innocent and you don't belong to the streets, the easiest way to kind of do this, an easier way in, is just with the eye contact, okay? Listen, eye contact makes everything better, all right? So the more you do it, the better it is for the guy. Trust me, it's gonna make everything a whole lot crazier. Only do this if you want him to be your baby daddy, okay? That's all I'm saying.
Oh my God, another eye contact one. Is that what he's saying? Just make eye contact, go at it. Like it's your like most important job you have.
I hate what he's saying about performing. That's literally anti everything we say on this podcast.
Anti everything. Just do a performance. He's probably saying like, do we see in porn? Moan like you see in porn. Arch your back that way. Have multiple fake orgasms. This guy's a no. Mm-hmm. Anything useful. But he's adorable, this guy. He's cute. And here's the problem, TikTok. He says it. Like, so certain. Like, I know the truth. Like, look into his eyes, you know? Like, go after it like you're going down with the Titanic. And you could be like, yes, I will. I mean, think of all the stuff that gets passed along because people are just self-assured mm-hmm. and clear mm-hmm. and focused. And they say it, like, with just such certainty. But remember, that stuff's not always the truth or accurate.
I saw something saying that TikTok is now the go-to search engine for Gen Z over Google.
Wow.
Yeah.
That makes me nervous. Yes. But I get it. Yeah. Over Google.
Mm-hmm.
Over Google, that's where we're searching. But you're not getting cited any scientific sources, any biology. You're not getting any medical journals. You're just getting some people who read a book, who listened to a podcast.
Probably saw another TikTok.
People do that, right? They like copy other TikToks all the time.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you guys. A lot of the advice that I give, that people give, we've been doing this a long time, is like wisdom, experience, not only like having sex with people over the decades, but also just studying and researching. Mm-hmm. Just be careful where you get your advice, okay? But this is fun.
So fun.
So fun. Here's some good advice. Stick around until after the break because we'll be right back with more of the biggest trending advice from 2023. But before I go, I want to tell you real quick about one of my top sex toy brands, Laylo. So Laylo makes beautiful award-winning luxury toys that look really good on your nightstand and they feel really good on your body. And the Sona 2 Travel is perfect for anyone who has plans to travel in the new year, if you're traveling right now. Because what it does is, first, it's small. It's powerful, and it uses Laylo's Sensonic technology to simulate the feeling of oral sex. So traveling without your partner? No worries. Just take the Sona 2 Travel. It resonates deep into the internal structures of the clitoris for an entirely new sensation. But these kind of toys are using this indirect stimulation that helps stimulate more nerve endings. But if you're sensitive, you might really like this toy as well. So the Sona 2 Travel offers 12 different modes to experience and explore. It also makes a perfect gift for yourself or your loved ones. Don't forget to treat yourself. So start off 2024 with more pleasure. Make it a resolution. Go to Laylo.com and use the code SEXWITHEMILY at checkout to get 25% off site-wide. That's Leelo.com and use the code SEXWITHEMILY for 25% off. That's a lot off. Or click the link in our show notes. All right, everyone, we'll be right back. There's There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread, so here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's a kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Should we get into relationships?
Yes.
I love this because, well, these are trending a lot on TikTok this year. But again, just a reminder, a lot of the sex advice just gets taken off. So there's a lot of room for relationship stuff. Okay, this is a big one. This comes up all the time. The define the relationship.
Right.
What are we? Let's DTR. Watch this one.
The last thing you should do ever in your life, ever, 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 is the what are we conversation. You are the prize. You are the thing that he wants to have, the person he wants to have. You're not a cheap car salesman. You are not a salesman of any kind. You are a Birkin. You are a Ferrari. You do not send out emails saying, are you sure you don't want to make this purchase? Sorry, have we missed you? Sorry, hope this email finds you well. I'm sorry, maybe your email bounced into the wrong Dropbox. No, no. Also, while he's deciding, you're living your life. You're moving to where you want to live. You're dating other people. You're doing whatever you want to do. The what are we conversation is a him thought and a you non-thought. You want the man who's going to want to have that conversation with you, not the man who you have to have that conversation with.
That's a really interesting notion. Mm. Again, I have a hard time with the gender thing because no matter what kind of relationship you're in, there is always this dynamic. But she's saying the man should have it. She's saying that if you're a woman, don't be like, are we dating? Are we serious? Let's define this. I do agree with some of this. Of like, if you're living your life, there is some power energy here that's like, the second you do that, I see what you're saying, like you're giving away your power. But then we're saying what the man should always do it, that he should be the one who says like, hey, I've been thinking about us and like we should be committed. So I think in healthy relationships where you're both in it, things are going well, it feels pretty trusted and safe and a few months have gone by, you could also have the conversations like this. It's been 3 months, loving the sex we're having, it's really hot. But I just want to see if we're on the same page. Maybe we could just like together talk about what we want.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, you know, I'm dating other people, but I really like our time, but I'm not sure where you land. Maybe you could tell me more about what you're feeling. And it becomes a conversation and a dialogue, not a one-way question of like, what are we?
Right.
So I'm all for taking it out of the, it's one person's responsibility while the other person answers to like, can we just have a real conversation? Because you could also say here, I'd love to talk about like what we're doing here because I can't quite tell. I'm feeling good about it. 3 months in, you know, we just know what we know after 3 months. But also, if we're not on the same page, I think we should figure it out now because mm-hmm. then we could both part on good terms. But you could say, I am looking for a long-term serious relationship. I'm not sure where you are right now. And if you're not with this, that's just totally cool. I think we should be honest.
Right.
That's such a healthier way to have it. You don't seem needy. You don't seem desperate. You just seem like, let's kind of clear up some facts here. It's been 3 months. We've never talked about emotions and feelings and
right.
what we want. I just want to get clear.
Totally. I'm on the same page.
The same page. Cool. All right. So I'm not into the whole like wait for them. Don't do it. Okay. This is a big one here. Let's talk about no contact.
This is why no contact works. every single time, no matter what. If someone chose to break up with you, then they're asking you not to be in their life for a while. The only mature response to that, and the only self-respecting response to that, is to give them that space. Now, when you're away, they can actually experience what a breakup from you is like. They're not gonna receive texts from you, they're not gonna have someone to sleep next to, they're not gonna be able to go on dates with you anymore. And no matter who you are, that's really, really hard. You, on the other hand, are gonna become more secure and work on loving yourself. And if you do that, whether they come back or not, you're gonna come out on top. Now, the immature alternative is you texting them all the time or trying to stay their friend or things like that. In that case, you can't grow. You're stuck. You're focused on them. And they can't miss you. They can't feel what life is like without you. So be mature and respect yourself, and you're gonna come out on top.
So what he's saying is no contact. Well, the trend that I've seen is if you go no contact, you gotta not follow them in, you know, Snapchat, TikTok, delete their number. But his version of it is like, if you go no contact, work on yourself. Don't try to get them back. Don't send them all these reasons why they should be with you. Let them miss you. But again, that's still framed in the gamey way. It's like, no, if you have decided to take a break from somebody, then that's on you to really spend the time on yourself. What do you actually want in the world? What was this relationship not providing you, or what doesn't work for you? And take time to kind of just think about it without texting every day. Because when you break up with someone and you take a break and then you're still in contact all the time, you don't get the sense to actually feel how that's landing in your body. You can't fully be embodied with the separation if you are still have that lifeline mm-hmm. to the person. I'm down with taking time and not staying in touch with someone if you're taking a break. And I believe in this. If you break up with someone, and I get this is hard to do, and you know it's over, you really do have to stop following them. You can't be checking out their Instagram, their stories, mm-hmm. their Snap. Like, just separate, because maybe you will come back together. Maybe you'll be really good friends. But you will not know right away. So it's really hard to do. It is painful. It's excruciating. But you got to take that time. The next one, how to spot a love bomber. I love this topic. Let's get into this one.
No. I get it. You're amazing. And anyone is going to be lucky to be with you. But let's talk about love bombing, since it is an actual thing. This is an asterisk. The reason why love bombing is so important to know that you're being love bombed is because dysfunction follows it quite immediately. All right, let's get into it. What does it look like? Grand gestures. Early saying that they found their soulmate. Future faking right off the bat. Gifts, trips, early promises. Minimizing their past relationships to put you on a pedestal. Excessive attention. Excessive compliments. I know, you're amazing. But excessively. Rushing to say I love you. Disrespecting your boundaries. And this last one is going to be really weird, but rushing into commitment.
Love bombing. That has been a phrase that's been thrown around a lot the last few years. But that is a real thing. And I wish it had a term when I was like in my 20s, probably my 30s too. This has happened to me, where the thing about love bombing, and again, just to reiterate what she's saying, is it's someone who's like, on the second date, they're like, I've never felt this way before. And they rush to make grand plans, gestures. Maybe they sweep you away on a vacation. They tell you that you're everything they've been looking for. They are literally bombing you with love, which you have all these like dopamine, serotonin spikes. You feel so seen, so heard, and so good. How we all love compliments, but to have it by someone that you're also attracted to right away, it's so seductive, and it can feel so real. Because yeah, I am pretty great. Finally, someone's seeing me for all of my awesomeness. But the reason why this is a problem is because you've only known this person for like a week or two or 6 weeks. You can't be in love and know that someone's your soulmate on the third date. So this is just something that your antenna should go up. And I'm not even saying you have to say something to them, but you can start to take that in as information. Remember, when we are dating with someone the first 6 months, six years, we're always gathering information. And you don't have to make judgments on it, but, oh, okay, it's interesting. Like, there's all this. And you can even ask them, like, oh, you think I'm the one? Tell me more about that. You think I'm the one? You could, like, call it out and be like, why do you feel that way? Have you felt this way before? Like, you're allowed to get curious here. And again, remember, the love bomber, the one who's doing it, they're probably not conscious of it. They're not saying, like, okay, I'm going to turn on the love bomb with this. It's just their habitual way of being. And it also comes from people who maybe lived in a home, just one theory, where it wasn't safe. People left them. They came from a home where things were really chaotic and maybe one or two parents was absent. They probably genuinely feel very connected to you and are feeling very strong feelings. Mm-hmm. And it's one thing. We've all gone out with people where we feel strong feelings, right? But they take it to another level because they're afraid that this feeling that they're having, this incredible feeling, is going to be taken like that. So I want to lock you in. I want to keep you. That's how I know. I've learned in some way that to make people feel good and to make me feel safe, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure you won't leave.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of times this love bombing, then they end up leaving and it blows up.
I feel like when I've heard about love bombing, I've heard of it as a manipulation tactic to control your partners later on. Is that also true?
Yeah, it can be. It can be like extreme narcissism or sociopathy. People could be using it as a control mechanism. And I guess I said it's not conscious because I actually believe that people are doing this aren't always as conscious that it's manipulation, but it's definitely manipulation.
Yeah.
It is a manipulation to get this person to fall in love with me. Like, I'm going to tell them I'm falling in love with you, so you'll fall in love with me, and then I'll feel safe and you won't abandon me. But yeah, it's very manipulative. Love bombing is toxic and unhealthy. And I'm sorry to report, like, I know you're great, like she says in the TikTok, but like, you can't be in love and find your person on the second date.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. And then people are going to be, you know, writing and saying, no, my parents met on the first date. And they're like, yes, it happens all the time. But if this is someone who's just going to the next level with it, just what's the rush?
Mm-hmm.
Let's slow down. Let's make information. You don't have to move in, have a baby, get married, all the things just yet.
Mm-hmm.
Keep gathering facts.
The real tea on why you shouldn't sleep with him right away. Yes, I'm all for female empowerment and doing whatever you want to do. But let's be real. If you're trying to bag your husband, sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do. Men can always find women to fuck him physically, but the key is to be the woman who fucks him mentally. Think about it. Men approach us simply based off of our looks. That's what attracts somebody to you. It's your looks, not your personality. They know nothing about you. They come to you about your looks at first. You're giving him the milk before having to buy the cow if you sleep with him too soon. Men don't start noticing personality until maybe after like the third or fourth date. When doing this, the key is to not show him the playbook. Do not let him know you're not sleeping with him because you want him to get to know your personality first, because then he's going to set his intention of like pretending he knows your personality. So in this, that means don't put yourself in a situation for a hookup. Don't even start a hookup. Don't make out, you know, a slight kiss, but don't get super lusty, because then you're going to get super lusty. And if you say no, it's going to create a whole negative situation.
Oh my God, not sleeping with a man too soon. This whole don't sleep with them on the first date, don't sleep too soon, this is probably one of the oldest debates out there in this relationship realm about when to sleep together, when not to sleep together. I do think there's something to be said for taking your time to know somebody, especially if you're the kind of person who, when you sleep with someone, you get very connected, very attached. You don't often sleep with many people. And then you do sleep with someone and you know yourself and it just doesn't always work for you, then I think wait until you know someone a little better. But just whenever we say this, there's a million people who are like, I slept with my partner on the first date. We've been together forever. It's the same kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I do lean on the side of waiting a beat. You don't have to sleep together on the first or second date if you don't want to. And that more is always going to be revealed. And sometimes when you sleep with someone right away, it's harder to make more accurate decisions about the relationship and really assess your real feelings, because if sex gets into the mix too quickly, you might feel attached in ways where you can't like see the red flags waving in the distance. So make your own decisions. But again, if you feel like, I don't actually want to sleep with this person, or I think I could wait, then wait.
And it just builds the tension more, which always makes it more fun.
That
but then
exactly
when you do have sex, it's like even hotter.
Yeah, because where do you go from the first date if you sleep together right away? Like, at least wait till the second date, right? I love the sexual
tension.
Something
to look forward to.
Yeah, then you're looking forward to it. Oh, I love this one. But I've been thinking a lot about this since our call yesterday. Okay, here we go.
Apparently, a lot of people don't know what the bird test is, which I'm sure there's like a better name for it, but that's wild to me because I live and die by the fucking bird test, okay? Because it never fails. And if you don't know what the bird test is, it's like a test to gauge like whether or not a relationship will be successful. And usually it's in the context of a romantic relationship, but I always do this with like friends, family members, literally anyone that I meet. If they pass the bird test, I tell them so fast because this shit is so fascinating, okay? And I'll give you an example. I meet this girl, we start becoming like newer friends, and we go to Starbucks one day. We're sitting at this table at Starbucks and I'm looking out the window and I see a woodpecker in a tree and I'm like, holy shit, there's a woodpecker in that tree. This girl whips around so fast. She's like, where? I kid you not, for the next 10 minutes, the two of us stared out the Starbucks window just watching this woodpecker fucking peck away at this tree while we Googled random facts about woodpeckers, okay? Now, the bird test states that if you're with someone, whoever you're gonna do the test with, romantic or not, if you say something that could be deemed like insignificant and your partner responds with like genuine curiosity, like what woodpecker, where? that's a really good sign that your relationship will last a long time. But if they like blow you off, they don't acknowledge you and they're just like, oh, cool, like a woodpecker, that's a really bad sign. And again, it's for romantic relationships, but I'm telling you, do this with your friends, do this with your family members, because that girl and I, still homies as fuck, all right? The bird test never fucking fails.
So here's the thing about the bird test. What she's talking about is, I believe it's one of some Gottmans who talk about the four horsemen in relationships and the things that you need to look out for that are not so healthy. And one of them is, does your partner make a bid to turn towards you or turns away from you? So if you say, look at that bird, do they just keep staring at their computer? Do they pay attention to what you're saying? Are they interested? But I love that on TikTok, it's gone to this whole other place of like the bird test. If you say to your partner, like, look at that bird, or what'd you think of that story, or do you like this, you know, movie, and they just ignore you, that could be the sign that there's other challenges in their relationship, that your partner isn't wanting to connect with you. They're not taking your bid for connection. It's really a bid for connection. Mm-hmm. Again, you could say, look at the woodpecker, and your partner's like in the middle of a really important work email and they don't look up. So I think you do it a few times. Right. I don't think it's like, you didn't look at the woodpecker.
We're over.
Yeah. But I think that we know this problem in relationships. Like, we know the people who don't really care or have taken interest in us. Mm-hmm. So, but I love that it just went down to the bird test. I love that people are kind of looking at this. Listen, that to me is like, again, I don't love the idea of a test, but if you are feeling like your partner isn't really, or someone in your life doesn't really care about things that you say and it's just all about them, well, then, you know, that's a problem too. Your needs need to be met. You want someone to feel interested and interesting, you know, interested in what you have to say and interesting.
That's a good point you bring up about testing your partner. Because I feel like in general, when I hear that term, I'm like, oh, that's not a good thing to do. But this one seems harmless. Unless, as you said, like you say it once, your partner misses it and you're like, you failed the test, we're done.
Yeah. I think that like, it's just a fun thing to try, and then you could do it with something else. You could be like, okay, I did the bird thing and now I'm going to say, you know, what do you think of that painting over there? Or what do you think of this thing? You know, and just see it. If it happens over time, then, you know, you test it a few times. You probably do this only if you have a hunch that your partner isn't really connecting with you on things that are interesting to you. Because in a relationship, it's like give and take. But again, the reason why the Gottmans created these tests is like, that's when there's like contempt bills. Like when you get to the point of contempt in a relationship where you're like, I'm going to listen to what you say. I can't stand anything about you. Like it's getting towards, you know, hatred, negativity. It's just, you know, that's not the relationship you want to be in.
Totally.
It's hard to come back from contempt. All right. Our last TikTok, the orange peel theory. I don't know this one. Let's try it.
Everybody's talking about the orange peel theory. If you don't know what that is, the orange peel theory basically describes when your partner does an act of service for you that's something that you are perfectly capable of doing on your own. And this is for really small stuff, like, for example, peeling an orange. Let's say that for whatever reason, I hate peeling my oranges, but I really like oranges. I ask my partner, hey babe, would you mind peeling this orange for me? And they can either respond with, of course, love, like not a problem at all. Or they can say, no, you are perfectly capable of peeling that orange yourself. Or maybe my partner already knows that I really don't fuck with citrus and has the orange already peeled and prepared for me. Either way, their response is indicative of much bigger things than just merely peeling an orange. Because even just a super tiny thing like that reveals so much about their attitude toward you and your relationship. So much about relationships is the small things. Because the small things make up the big things. I mean, I'm sure we've all been in that relationship where we feel like we're literally having to practically beg on our hands and knees for someone to just get us flowers or pick up dinner for us on the way home when they know we've had a bad day. Or cutting the corners of our sandwich for us because they know we don't like the crust. We all know in that situation, it was never about the freaking flowers. It's the acknowledgement and the feeling of being taken care of and cherished and the feeling that someone really, really knows you. And in a relationship, you should never have to beg for that. It doesn't matter if their love language isn't acts of service.
Okay, I'm trying to get the gist of this. She's just saying like your partner should do the little things for you if you ask them.
Yeah, acts of service.
Yeah. I mean, again, it is just not usually just one thing. Mm-hmm. But if you feel like there's not an equitable share of, you know, interest and labor in the relationship, that's a bigger thing to address. All right.
There we have it.
Those were fun. Okay, guys, what do you think? What have you seen on TikTok and in all the places? Send us videos. That's it for today's episode. See you on Friday. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to the podcast and share this with a friend or partner. You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Sex with Emily. Oh, I've been told I give really good email. So sign up at sexwithemily.com. And while you're there, check out my free guides and articles for more ways to prioritize your pleasure. If you'd like to ask me about your sex life, dating, or relationships, call my hotline, 559-TALK-SEX. That's 559-825-5739. Or go to sexwithemily.com/askemily. Special thanks to Acast for powering the Sex with Emily podcast. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.